Yeah, actually, that was just my eyes itching for some reason. I am wide awake. What I am doing today is riding the fall retreat. And when I do that kind of work, I am completely absorbed. In fact, I got a phone call a while ago, which made me look up and realize it was 7:10 my time, and I was supposed to start teaching at 7:30. I had no idea. I hadn't looked up in hours. I didn't know it was dark outside. I hadn't even thought about supper. You know, it's where you just get completely lost in your work and the time just flies, right? So a part of me is really excited to get through this teaching so I can get back to that work. I just love it. I'm a course developer at heart, if you can't tell by MPP and gentle healing. And teaching, I like teaching too, but teaching is second for me. Writing is first. I love developing courses. So I'm having a good time today. In fact, one thing I really love to do is develop a course, teach it the first couple of times, and then find other people and teach them to teach it and turn it over to them. And then me go develop something new. That's always been my love. That's why I don't teach MPP anymore. I taught it two or three times, turned it over to other people, and went on to gentle healing. Now we get other people teaching gentle healing. I'm writing retreats. But you know what? These retreats may continue to live, and maybe other people will start teaching the retreats I wrote, right? And then I'll go on to whatever's next. But right now, we're going to December 22nd. That's where we're headed. We're in the book, Consciousness in the Absolute. And I'm just going to read these. These are all so small, I like to just read them from beginning to end and then go back and look at them. So this is Nisargadatta speaking. Just now, I was lying down in the waking state, but with no perceiving or receiving of any words, something like a prior to words state. Now the last traces of personality or individuality have left me. Last year, I used to talk to people with a certain affection, but that is not available now. My dwelling place in the grosser world is gone now. Presently, it is in the subtler sphere, as in space. The effect of these talks is that you will stabilize in the very source from which the words sprout. Abiding in the dynamic, manifest consciousness is abiding in the words of the guru. The meaning of the mantra I have given you is that you are the manifest dynamic principle, not the body. When you abide in that, you become that. People think that they are coming here of their own volition, but it is the consciousness which is bringing them here, because the consciousness wants this knowledge. My talks are addressed to the consciousness. You have identified with the body, but you are not the body. It is knowledge which must understand its own nature and merge with the knowledge which is its source. People come here and ask for blessings. They don't understand that the knowledge that one, they do not understand that the knowledge that one is not the body, but the consciousness within, is a blessing. I'm going to read that last paragraph again. People come here and ask for blessings. They don't understand that the knowledge that one is not the body, but the consciousness within, is the blessing. So that last paragraph kind of reminds me, you know, I mentioned that I like writing courses. And one of the courses that I've written is the Buddhism course for MPP. And that's really my only experience with Buddhism. I've never been one to study Buddhism. I read the book by Thich Nhat Hanh, The Heart of Buddha's Teaching. I contemplated that. I wrote a course, and that's all I know about Buddhism. What interested me when I got to China was that I knew a heck of a lot more about Buddhism than Buddhists do. And I'm not talking about, you know, some of the Buddhists that are associated with this spirituality. You know, there are a lot of Buddhists that are really associated with non-dual spirituality who have a very clear understanding. I'm talking about the average Chinese Buddhist on the street, which really don't know anything about Buddhism, just like maybe the average Christian doesn't understand Jesus' teachings. When I went to China, you know, there were Buddhist temple after Buddhist temple after Buddhist temple, and people went to these temples to pray for what they wanted in life, just like Christians do. In fact, I remember one particular temple that had these three huge Buddhas. I mean, they must have been two or three stories tall. And I guess I was talking to someone about them because I was informed that one was the Buddha of the past, one was the Buddha of the present, and one was the Buddha of the future. And like, for example, if you were a young man and you wanted to find a wife, you would go pray to the Buddha of the future. Or if you were a college student and you had an exam tomorrow, that's considered the present, you would go pray to the Buddha of the present. Or if there was something in your past that that you needed forgiveness for or something like that, you would go pray to the Buddha of the past. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because it almost sounds like there was, even with Nisargadatta sitting there, there was a similar misunderstanding happening with him, right? He says, people come here and ask for blessings. You know, they're applying it to the world. I mean, he doesn't say what kind of blessings they wanted, but, you know, maybe they wanted blessings in their marriage. Maybe they wanted blessings for their children and to get good grades. Maybe they wanted blessings, you know, for a new job they were applying for. Who knows what they wanted blessings for? But they didn't have an understanding of the teaching, right? He says, people come here and ask for blessings. They don't understand that the knowledge that one is not the body, but the consciousness within is the blessing. And if you knew that you were the consciousness within, you would not go to Buddha or you would not go to Nisargadatta and ask for blessings on your worldly affairs. You would literally let your worldly affairs be as they are and watch the unfolding of the worldly affairs with a sense of curiosity. Now again, we'll go back to the beginning of the message and we'll look at the message. He says, just now I was lying down in the waking state, but with no perceiving or receiving of any words, something like a prior to words state. So this state is often called abiding in the pure consciousness, right? There was no perceiving, he says, there were no images, and there were no words. So he was just abiding in that stillness that is considered pure consciousness. He says, now the last traces of personality or individuality have left me. And of course, we read that story not too long ago about how when he found out that he had throat cancer, this fear arose. And it was through watching that fear, what we call rest, accept, and trust, where he had an additional awakening, you know, than the one that Nisargadatta had before. And so he's referring to this. He's saying, now the last traces of personality or individuality have left me, right? This is still fairly new to him. I mean, this book, I mean, I don't know exactly what date we were reading that on, but the book begins in the same year. Is that true? Yeah, the same year. The book begins in May 1980, and this is December 1980. And it wasn't at the beginning of the book that he had that experience. But, you know, I mean, it's still a fairly new experience, this additional awakening, right? So he says, now the last traces of personality or individuality have left me. And he's even talking about how last year was different. He says, last year, I used to talk to people with a certain affection, but that is not available now. Now, that's kind of interesting. That's very much like what we were contemplating with Bernadette Roberts on Sunday night. We were contemplating how Bernadette says that everything that we experience, we're experiencing through the ego. That includes our experience of God, our experience of our family members, our experience of our friends. You remember we talked about this? And she said when the divine bursts through and knocks out the ego center, so the ego center no longer exists, that the way that we experience these things also no longer exists because they were experienced through the ego, right? And we have Nisargadatta saying something very similar here. Last year, I used to talk to people with a certain affection, but that is not available now. It's interesting. We should come across this kind of teaching twice in 1 week. You know, I think that when I read these types of things, I wonder if some people are thinking, well, I don't want that. You know, I don't want to not love my children anymore. I don't want to lose my devotion for God. The interesting thing is, though, that every master that I've ever read, anyway, every master that I've ever read refers to the awakening experience as reality, refers to this experience as illusion, refers to the awakening experience as bliss, refers to this experience as suffering, right? So even though we may love the way we love our children now, for example, if we really look at it, there's a lot of things in that love that is called suffering. The way we worry for our children, the way we fear for our children, right? We may love our devotion for God now, but there's a lot in that devotion for God that is actually lack. There's also this seeking energy, like I need more of that. I need to understand what that is. You know, if we look very, very honestly at even our best present experiences, we can always find suffering. So when we hear things like, I no longer have affection for people, I no longer, Bernadette Roberts, I no longer can feel that love for God that I felt. And there may be something in us that wants to pause and say, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want that. We need to look a little deeper, a little more honestly. You know, Dawn here is a great example. She doesn't mind being the example for the moment because she has shared some things with us lately about what's going on with her son, and she cried. I mean, would you guys have called that bliss or suffering if you had to choose an option? Right? Suffering, right, Dawn? Yeah, and yet we call that love. So instead of being quick, if we are quick to say, I don't think I want that, this losing of affection that he's talking about, maybe we need to look a little more honestly at what we're calling affection, what we're calling love, what we're calling caring, what we're calling devotion, and maybe see that it isn't pure, and maybe then we'll have the motivation to seek the pure, even though it's something the mind can't imagine. See, that's the whole thing about awakening, is the mind can't imagine it. When you were born as a baby, you did not love your mother. Not when you were born, right? Think about it. When you were born, you did not love your mother. You hadn't learned those types of human habits yet. You were just pure awareness. You know, if she nursed you, you went for the breast because that's what nature had you do. But you did not have affection for your mother. You did not love your mother, right? So some of these things are learned, and again, they're not pure. So last year, I used to talk to people with a certain affection, but that is not available now. My dwelling place in the grosser world is gone now. Presently, it is in the subtler sphere, as in space. So he's really describing that he can't have that affection that he had before because he's not centered in that world, in that human world. He's not centered there anymore. The effect of these talks is that you will stabilize in the very source from which the words sprout. That's the effect of these talks. If you come and you just listen to these talks with absolute openness and not thinking, not listening with thinking, just listening with awareness. See, that's the trick. You want to be just the open awareness that the words flow into, right? And if you just come and you just listen to these talks with that open awareness without thinking, he says the effect will be that you will be the source from which these words are springing forth. In other words, you'll have the experience that he has of being in the subtler sphere rather than the grosser world. The effect of these talks is that you will stabilize in the very source from which these words sprout, abiding in the dynamic, manifest consciousness is abiding in the words of the guru. The meaning of the mantra I have given you is that you are the manifest dynamic principle, not the body. You know, one way we might say that is you are the life force, right? Not the body. It's kind of like being the electricity rather than the light bulb, and the electricity mistaking itself for the light bulb, right? You are the life force, not the body. And when you abide in that, you become that. Ramana Maharshi used to say, whatever you meditate on, you become. You know, so one thing that I've always thought was interesting about that is then, let's say I have a tendency that I don't like, a tendency to be kind of a mean, nasty person. You know, I kind of snap at people and all of that. Well, what that means is I could meditate on kindness and I would become kind. And I think that's absolutely true. But that is not awakening, right? So when Ramana Maharshi says what you meditate on, you become, he's really both warning us and teaching us. He's warning us that if you meditate on something that is not truth, you'll become that. You'll have those experiences. In fact, was it Cary Grant? I don't remember. It was one of those guys from the, you know, from my mom's generation of movie stars, who saw himself as tall and lanky and clumsy, and he decided to contemplate on, meditate on, focus on being suave and debonair, right? And of course, he grew up to be a suave, debonair movie star, right? So again, whatever we meditate on, we become. But part of the question then has to be, what do I want to, quote, become? And becoming here is being used loosely because you don't actually become the truth. You are the truth already. But if you meditate on the truth, you realize that. That's what the becoming means, right? Whatever you meditate on, you become. So when you abide in that, you become that. Now, I love this paragraph. He says, people think that they are coming here of their own volition, which means their own will. They're coming here because they want to, right? People think that they are coming here of their own volition, but it is the consciousness which is bringing them here, because the consciousness wants this knowledge. You know, it was very, very early on the spiritual path when I began to see people as puppets, not knowing they were puppets. You know, and the strings were pulled by, at that time, the way I saw it, either the ego or what I called the Holy Spirit. But everybody was a puppet. If you were listening to the ego, you were just a puppet to the ego. Everything you did is how the ego was moving you. Or if you were listening to spirit, then you were moved by spirit. But it's the same puppetry. And I came to see that the only choice I had, that I actually did have a bit of choice in the matter, but the only choice I had was which puppeteer I was going to let pull my strings. You know, I could literally decide not to listen to those ego thoughts, right? And then I would be pulled by spirit. But what I discovered was, as an apparent person, I didn't really have my own volition. I didn't have a choice not to be a puppet. I remember the first time I taught that, there were people around who were offended, you know, but I think that we've all awakened a little more. You know, I don't know if people will be offended by that anymore, but I found that I did not have a choice. About being a puppet. Only had a choice about the master. If you really see yourself as a puppet, you become free. Actually, it doesn't sound like you would be. It sounds like, you know, you're free when you have your own will. But that's not true. Because when you have your own will, you have an awful lot of imagined responsibility. You know, you have to decide, you know, this or that, right? You have, and you know, and you can make wrong decisions, you think, and right decisions, you think. And there's actually a lot of pressure, the pressure of screwing up. There's a lot of pressure if you think that you have your own will. But if you realize the only choice is, again, using the language of the Course, the ego or the Holy Spirit, and that after that, you're still just a puppet and the decisions are not yours, the decisions are just going to be made, there's a lot of freedom in that. So people think that they are coming here of their own volition, but it is the consciousness which is bringing them here, because the consciousness wants this knowledge, right? So we could say they were listening to what we would call the right mind by coming here, but they didn't, you know, once they started listening to the right mind, they didn't have a choice, because that's the direction the right mind was going to move. The right mind is always going to move towards awakening, right? The strings are being pulled by the puppeteer. He says, my talks are addressed to the consciousness. Now, this gets back to what we talked about. I need to keep Kleenexes around me all the time because I really like using them. I don't think paper works as well. But this is what we talked about. Was it last week or the week before, where I talked about this is general awareness or consciousness. And I talked about how I called it attention. You know, kind of, see, I would do it better with a Kleenex. Attention kind of grows out of it, right? You remember this example? And I asked you guys to look at that, to notice that which was coming out and focusing on the world was no different than the general awareness. It's like the general awareness is here, and then there's this piece of it that comes out. Well, that's still consciousness, is it not? So Nisargadatta is talking to the consciousness that's focused on the world. He's telling the consciousness, you are consciousness. And it is. You see? And he's just trying to help the consciousness to realize what it is so it can pull back and rest within itself. So he's talking to consciousness. He's not talking to people. So why should he have affection for people? He has affection for consciousness. And this is why, you know, when you awaken, you're not going to, quote, love your children in the same way that you do now. Because right now you love your children as this person, the mother, loving that person, my child. That's loving through the ego, you see. You will love consciousness. Now, consciousness as your child, yes. But also consciousness is the guy down the street. But it's not the guy down the street you love or the child you love. It's consciousness. Because that's the reality. Why would you love If you see consciousness as the true reality, why would you love something else? You know, why would you love an illusion? Why would you love what it isn't? You're going to love it for what it is. And that's a different experience than the experience of a mother loving a child or a devotee loving a guru, right? It's consciousness, loving consciousness. Consciousness, speaking to consciousness. My talks are addressed to consciousness. You have identified with the body, but you are not the body. So the consciousness that comes out of awareness is identified with the body that it's focused on. But it's not the body that it's focused on. It's the consciousness. My talks are addressed to the consciousness. You have identified with the body, but you are not the body. It is knowledge which must understand its own nature and merge with the knowledge which is its source, right? So the general awareness back here, the attention comes out, identifies with the body. It just has to come back into itself, or which is also being called its source, and merge back into itself again, which is resting in awareness is the way we also say that. Staying back here instead of being identified with what you're observing. And then again, the last paragraph, people come here and ask for blessings. They don't understand that the knowledge that one is not the body, but the consciousness within, is the blessing. And that's the end of that message. So thanks for coming and hanging out with me. Hey, golly, except for Don, do you realize every single person here, well, and me, because I'm in Pueblo West right now, that all of the people listening are in La Vida? That whole La Vida gang thing is really growing, isn't it? Yeah, pretty soon maybe we'll have a physical sanctuary if everybody keeps moving to La Vida.